I'm with Suzanne Noel. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Serge. Nice to be with you.
Same here. So you're interested in focusing, obviously, and also in the 12 steps. Do you want to talk a little more about that?
Okay. So first, I just want to say that I first found the 12 steps, and the 12 steps found me, actually. And I want to just go inside and see what's coming to me now about the 12 steps. Yeah, so I feel that before I found the steps, I was in a dark world of a lot of confusion and despair and hopelessness and shame, suffering. So it was a very wounded, dark space.
Very wounded, dark space, a dark world.
And then I see the steps, and they kind of open the door out of that dark space, which right now is feeling like below ground, like a dark underground cave. And so the 12 steps kind of led me out of that underground darkness and were a way, like, this is the way, you know, like, this is the way, this is a new pathway. And so I see the 12 steps as a pathway and the spiritual pathway of connecting with myself first and who I really am and with my feelings and what I'm experiencing. Then with another person, the 12 step is a fellowship. So the fellowship aspect of it is very important, this connecting to myself and with another person. And then finally with a higher power. Or a higher energy. So for me it's this pathway of connection and on those three levels.
That pathway out of the darkness into connection at these three levels.
Exactly. That felt really good to hear back. And along this pathway, 12-steppers are often seeking ways to enhance all of those, you know, to take care of ourselves physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. Because addiction, even if it's codependency or gambling or any kind of addiction or alcoholism, it affects us on all these levels. It affects us mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and socially. So we're always seeking ways to heal on all those levels. And so focusing, I'm just having one hand kind of land gently into the other. It's like focusing landed gently into this 12-step holding, and there's a nice holding that goes on. I'm not sure which is holding which at this point, but like the 12 steps can hold focusing very nicely.
So that sense of very gently holding, that sense of how nicely they fit together, and you don't really even have to know which one is holding which.
So some I'm sensing inside now. I'm feeling like a movement up from it deep inside me, up through my chest and out through my mouth. And it feels like both the 12 steps and focusing do that. They kind of unblock what's in the way of breath. That's what's coming in, breath.
So you have that very physical sense of what the 12 steps and focusing are like. And it's that sense of unblocking what's in the way, unblocking the breath.
Exactly. And yes, and I I'm a little moved by hearing that back, because breath is life, and breath is aliveness, and I can feel that in my lower belly also right down, and like my belly button. Like they both hold and enhance our aliveness.
Yeah.
Exactly. Aliveness.
So they're unblocking, they're whole, they enhance life, aliveness.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's very nice. My body kind of wants to wiggle with that, like it feels good. Yeah, it wants to wiggle into that aliveness. So, yeah. So now, so recovery focusing. It helps like newcomers. There's recovery focusing. What I'm doing is mainly working with newcomers in a treatment center. And recovery focusing is focusing felt sensing, you know, like meaning making out of your felt experience of each step. So in recovery focusing, I invite them to wait for their felt meaning of each step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not about trying to understand intellectually, but really getting into that space for the felt meaning of each step.
Yeah. And and so this gesture's coming like gently from my belly and out, like it's waiting for the felt meaning to come from the belly. Yeah, from the belly, and then holding it out and showing it. So there's both these aspects of feeling it, being with it, and then sharing it with the group, with the circle. And then my hand is moving in the circle, so it's really like making space for each person to speak and share their felt meaning of each step. And I think it's that making space for each of them that is also so important for them, because it's their meaning, and we're making space for that and sharing that.
Yeah. So that's something that's about the fellowship. And it's not just one person's feeling, but it's the whole process, the whole group sharing it.
Yes, it's the whole group. And that's what's also so healing, because they're not alone.
Yeah. So the opposite of that sense of being in that dark place of addiction, of compulsion, alone, and this is, you're not alone.
Exactly. That's it, exactly. And there's three key aspects of recovery focusing. And the first is beginning with a positive felt experience. So I always start with a sense of that. So I really often say, well, just check in with yourself, and how do you need to be with yourself right now? I start with self-empathy, what in domain focusing we call self-empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We can start from any domain, either, you know, clearing a space, or start with your body, or start with an issue, or you can start with self-empathy. So I'll often start with self-empathy and then say, how do you need to be with yourself right now, with your life context now? Like, and then I'll offer them suggestions. Can you be kind to yourself, or forgiving, or compassionate, or supportive? And they go inside, and they always find a way that they need to be with themselves. And this is very moving, because even as I'm speaking it now, I feel moved inside myself. It's very moving, because they're very broken people and very they're overwhelmed with shame and remorse and regret, and sometimes they're very angry also, but mostly there's remorse and shame and despair, and so finding that way of being with themselves is very important. And anyhow, so I do start with that, and then when they find that, I invite them to take it inside. So it's not just, oh, I need to be kind to myself, but to find a way to bring that kindness inside them so that they get a little sense of that. Like maybe pat your chest or pat your shoulder or, So that's the first thing, is starting with a positive felt experience.
And I think what's very touching as you talk about it is you're saying of how the people you work with have difficulty around that, and there's shame and there's disconnection. But what you're experiencing time and again is if you take them where they are, there is a way that they can be with themselves. It's not necessarily just something that's, some picture perfect way, but they can find a way to be with themselves where they are.
Exactly, Serge. One person may need to be patient with herself. Another may say, oh, I need to be forgiving with myself. Another person may say, oh, yes, I need to be loving with myself. So they each find their own unique way of being with themselves. And I also want to share that I share with them in these groups. So I do this with them every time also. So I'm part of the group. I'm not above them. Right, so exactly. So they do find their own unique way of being with themselves that is, that is kind of like a holding safe space. So the focusing starts with this safety, with this self-empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Or another time I may invite them, like when I do step one, I'll say, oh yeah, so let's go back and find a time when you were really happy in your life, but sober and clean and happy, where you felt whole, like you were truly yourself. And so you may have to go back all the way to your childhood to find this, or you may just go back a few days. And often some addicts have to go back to their childhood because they started, with drugs since they were very young, drugs or alcohol, or, and that's another way. And then, it's just wonderful because they find that. They find that memory, they find that time, and they feel it in their body. They feel it, I'll invite them to use many avenues of felt sensing. I say, well, see if there's a word or a phrase that really captures that time. And then I'll say, see if an image comes. And also, okay, now really feel that in your belly and chest and feel your whole body posture. So that they're getting a thick felt sense of that, not just one avenue, but the whole, it's in a bigger space. I might even ask them to go into a posture of that time, that kind of holds that time. And so that's another way of starting positively. There are many ways of starting positively.
Yeah. And what I'm really getting as you explain it is it's not like a glimpse of it, but really being in it, feeling it, inhabiting it, living it.
Ah, thank you. Exactly. It's so wonderful to be understood. Exactly, Serge. Okay, so then we start with the positive. And then sometimes it could be a positive within a step, right? Like maybe we could start with higher power. Okay, so we start with the positive, then I guide him into the worst. And I do that, and I always trust that focusing experience, that if you really get the feel of the worst of something, and really enter the worst of it, by being in that worst, being able to explicate it and speak about it, it already changes and you already feel better.
And it's within the context where actually they're really solidly, deeply grounded in what is solid and grounded in their body. So from that place, it's not about disappearing into the worst and losing themselves, but, from the grounded place, having a container where the worst is bearable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, okay, so in the first step, for example, it would be powerlessness and unmanageability. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I have some examples here. Yeah. I'll just give you some examples of that powerlessness and manageability. I see my brain, all the veins filled with blood. It is turning into something white. And then something comes, a connection between my brain and my heart, a back and forth between them.
Mm.
And then she stays with it. Now I feel a lump in my throat, a lump caused by alcohol. And she says, I can see that alcohol is breaking my heart-brain connection. Mm-hmm. A cocaine addict says, I see a lot of things broken up, like incomplete. I feel like an empty sack, like an empty sack and without sanity. Mm-hmm. And then another person says, I feel like I have sand all over me, everywhere. And like I want to clean myself off, wipe this sand off, but I can't. So they're just getting a little felt sense of, I don't know if that was actually about powerlessness or insanity of the second step, but they get that sense inside them and, okay. And then I do take them into the worst of it. Here, so I'm going to give you another example. This is, okay, so this is like, okay. So I asked, what is in the way of my serenity? That's clearing a space. What is in the way of my serenity? And this woman found that the drama was in the way of her serenity, like being a fixer, right? And then deceitfulness and fear were in the way. So she chose to work on her fear.
Uh-huh.
She went inside. So she got an image of the Titanic going straight down. She said her fear feels just like that, like she is going down and can't do anything about it. She said her chest felt very tight and painful, like she couldn't breathe. She felt an urge to crawl up into a fetal position. The worst of it was the hurting in her chest, which was mostly about seeing the reality of her life, how unhappy she really is. She can't trick herself in this space, she said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she right there got this sense of the worst of it all, and also not being able to trick herself anymore, which addicts are so good at doing.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I invited her back into self-empathy. And then into recovery. And so I said, now imagine your higher power removing this. How would that be? This is recovery.
Uh-huh.
And then she said she felt like the weight in her chest had been removed. That her chest felt much lighter. And she smiled.
Uh-huh.
Then I invited her to go back in and ask, and what is the best of this? So she went inside and she was waiting and she said, silence. That's the best of that. She says there's no confusion, no thoughts spinning around. Peace.
Yeah.
She said she feels like she can find a small piece of silence when she needs to now.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me just say that about a month later, she shared at a meeting that she had this little piece of inner silence in her recovery, and when she said that, I knew when she found it. She found it exactly in this focusing session.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in recovery focusing, we start with the positive, we dip down into the worst of it, and then we come back out into recovery. And so each step has its recovery aspect to it. In the first one, it would be just recovery or sobriety. In the second one, it would be sanity. In the third one, it would be, how would it be to turn your will and your life over to your higher power?
Mm-hmm.
Or to the 12 steps. So each step has its recovery aspect. And then And then I invite them to sense into that recovery as a whole thing. I'm doing this circular motion. I like the planet recovery, you know, sense into recovery, and they get a sense of that, and that is the beauty and the power of recovery focusing. They're feeling recovery in their body, so they're feeling sanity, they're feeling serenity, they're feeling, oh, well, if I turn my will and my life over, oh, I just feel this weight being lifted up and this, you know, release inside, and my anxiety goes away, and they feel good. And then I ask, and so what is the best of that? So just like asking what is the worst of that helps them go into the worst and enter that felt sense, just in the same way asking what is the best of that helps them really go into and enter, oh yeah, what is the best of this? So, I've just said a lot. But that then is like the light at the end of the tunnel, because early recovery people are very afraid. They say, what do you mean I can't ever drink again? How am I ever going to have fun if I can't drink or gamble or, you know, have sex all day long if they're sex addicts or whatever? And this gives them a sense that recovery really does feel good, and it is that light, and they go, wow, and their whole body posture will shift, they'll smile, they'll feel really good when they leave the rooms. And that's the gift of recovery focusing to the recovery community. And you know, it's like if there is such a thing as the law of attraction, which I don't know if there is or not, but certainly this feeling into the best of recovery is like opening your arms to it and receiving it and taking it into your heart. That's what's coming to me now. It's like opening up your arms to the world of recovery and bringing it into your heart, which is exactly the opposite of addiction, where your whole body is kind of closed in and numbed out and depressed and shut down.
So the whole process there is actually that from the very beginning you reconnect with the body and you use the body as a resource as opposed to being in the shutdown mode.
Anyhow, so focusing is like a doorway to the 12 steps for people in recovery. And then after, you know, maybe the treatment center is like how I see it outside of that is clearing a space in the mornings. You know, what's in the way of my doing this work today, or what's in the way of my serenity today? And you can clear a space and then pick one of those things to focus on in the mornings. You can hold a prayer and work on it in a felt sense way. You know, prayer and meditation are the 11th step of recovery. The 10th step is continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. So you could do that with the 10th step. You could start with what did I do right this week, or what did I do right today, and get a felt sense of that. And then say, oh, well, what do I regret doing this week that doesn't feel like recovery, which feels more like my old addictive patterns of behavior? And you sense into that, and then you could say, well, how would I like to act tomorrow, or how can I make amends for this, or how do I want to replace this behavior? And then you felt sense, oh, I want to act honestly, and then you get a sense, how would that be inside to act honestly? And they get a sense of that. So felt sensing kind of just carries recovery forward, like it really just moves it forward, like it's just really something quite, I feel so blessed and grateful that I have found this and I'm able to pass it on to others.
So I want to ask you, people who don't have access to recovery focusing per se and are, you know, in the 12 steps. So one of the ways they can do what you describe is by themselves or in a focusing partnership, or, you know, is that something where you would encourage people to maybe talk to other people in 12 steps groups they're in and do some focusing? I mean, how could we help people combine that more?
Yeah, I am one of those that even though I have just said you can do a little focusing in the mornings or when you're doing your inventories, I am one of those that believes in the we aspect of focusing, the partnership or group aspect of it. I am not focusers. I mean, 12-steppers could certainly meet once a week to do recovery focusing partnership, which would be like co-sponsorship maybe. There could be recovery focusing groups where people meet and, you know, instead of just talking, you know, some groups work on steps, some groups work on topics of the day like anger or gratitude or, you know, surrender. And they could go around sharing in a self-sense way or even split up and do partnerships and then come back. But that feels a little far away right now. I don't know. I'm having a 12-step editor right now who's editing my book. I'm writing a book called Loving at the Edge, Recovery Emerging. And she's editing it, and she's a 12-stepper, and she's just crazy about it. She feels like this is God's work, recovery focusing. And so she's a 12-stepper who is really impressed by focusing, and I did have her and a few other people over for lunch the other day and did just 3 minutes of focusing with her, and she had the shift and the insight, and it was just wonderful. So I'm not sure how to carry it out into the 12-step community, because it is kind of like a closed circle in a way, because the 12 steps work, so people, you know, It is a closed circle in some ways, yet there are also people that are always looking for other ways to connect with their higher power and with themselves and with others. So there is that aspect of going beyond the 12 steps. All 12-steppers, you know, some join churches, some start meditating, some start, they use other resources to make their recovery all the more solid.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the challenging part for me. So
maybe that's a dot, 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 a question mark, a place, you know, where there is room for growth and unfolding and curiosity.
Yeah, and that's why in some ways I want to introduce it in treatment centers, because it's very powerful in treatment centers as a doorway into the 12 steps. But then those people are getting my workbook. I have a workbook. They get the workbook. Maybe in the future they'll continue, or they'll investigate more about focusing, or want to start their own groups. I think I've mentioned, maybe not to you, but on the list, that that an addict who had left, she had left the rehab and gone back out into the streets, a very sad situation. She came back like 9 months later, and I saw her, and she said, "Oh, Susana, I was doing focusing with addicts, and they loved it." I said, what do you mean you were doing focusing with addicts? She said, "Yes, I was in another treatment center, and I was doing it with other addicts." And that right there, the fact that she had wanted to continue to do it and was doing it with other addicts just really inspired me to then do this workbook. And then I did a recovery focusing workbook, which they use at the rehab. And again, I came into work on a Monday, and another woman said, "Ah, Susana, we were doing focusing yesterday, and it was on a Sunday that they were doing it." I said, "You were doing focusing on a Sunday?" She says, "Yeah, we took the book." And I go, "And who was listening?" She says, "We were all listening to each other." Because by the third class, I have them listen to each other. And the first few classes, I will listen to each person offering reflective listening. But then by the third class, I'll have them practice reflective listening, so they go around listening to each other, and some of them get to be great listeners.
Yeah.
So
maybe, you know, actually what this brings me to is a sense of, you know, in a way where your experience is something that brings something to not just 12-steppers, but other focusers, and, you know, the power you have discovered that there is in the group. Not just in having a partner, but having a whole group.
Oh, yeah. To to me, it's both. And let me just hold that there, because the group... Actually, this is one aspect that's a little tricky for me, is in recovery, we do identify. It's one thing that's very healing, is when you talk to your sponsor and you say, oh, I'm feeling a lot of despair, and have you ever felt despair? And then the sponsor says, oh, of course, I remember that despair, and the sponsor will usually identify first with the newcomer. They'll say, oh yes, I remember that, and this is what I did. So this is one aspect, and I'm not sure how to bring it into recovery focusing this. And so in the group, there is this identifying with each other that happens naturally, and they do all listen because it's coming from this felt sense space. And so they're really in awe as they're listening, and because it's a sacred kind of sharing. It's not boring. It's not intellectual. And if something intellectual comes, I make space for that. If somebody is just thinking and intellectualizing, I welcome that, because that's still their thinking and it's their intellectualizing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna, you know, force anything like with this body feel, or, you know, it's whatever's coming from them, I make space for, and that's the beauty. And there's no pressure for any kind of felt sensing. I say, if you can feel that in your chest or belly or in your body, that's great. But if not, no problem. Mm-hmm. See if a word or phrase comes, or so let me see, I'm getting kind of all over the place here. Mm-hmm. So the group is important for that identifying. And it feels sacred, and it is important that the thing with any kind of addictive process is really understanding that you can't do this alone, that you need the help of another person somehow, or a higher power, or both. So with this whole we aspect, it is very important to do it in the group. There's a group feel of the whole group feel of healing and recovery, and the shared suffering, the shared pain, again, like we said, that I'm not alone, and then the shared recovery and the shared joy of that.
Yeah.
So the group space is important, and then the partnership is a different kind of space, because it's such kind of deeper focusing, right? Such deep, I have one or two 12-steppers that I focus with sometimes, and one, I'm just a listener to. I just provide focusing listening, and so it is very enjoyable as a 12-stepper to focus with another 12-stepper, mm-hmm. because you have two common languages now.
Mm-hmm.
You have the language of focusing, and then you have the language of recovery. So, and it's very helpful to share in this intimate way the steps
mm-hmm.
with a partner.
Mm-hmm. So I want to maybe say, as I'm hearing you, it feels nice to hear from your experiences, having a sense of a roadmap, not in a sense a roadmap of these are places you have to go, but some possibilities. And a sense of, okay, so focusing in a partnership is, it's a nice, intimate experience. There's some depth. Focusing with somebody who shares a similar experience, like the language of the 12 steps. There's something that happens there. That's very nice. Focusing in a group. Again, there's a different experience. There's something that happens there. So what it does is awaken my curiosity about, there's something interesting about finding, you know, different ways, different settings to focusing, and how it can enrich the experience.
And as I'm hearing all of that back, so first I'm hearing this about finding ways of focusing in that roadmap. You mean in introducing it into the recovery world, like that roadmap of how it can be introduced?
Yeah.
And it can be introduced in all these three ways.
Yeah. And so I was thinking of, you know, people who are listening to this conversation are not necessarily in recovery, and there's something very inspiring about it.
Yeah, I would like to, like, there's something about recovery focusing that I wish I could carry forward to non-12 steppers, and it's that whole process of starting with the positive feel, dipping into the whatever's there in the way of feeling good, and then, but always ending with the recovery, with the how would it be if it were okay, you know, that gentleman question, how would it be if it were okay, and then really holding that and expanding that by asking, and then what is the best of that? And this is something, this whole process, especially that last part of it, where you're really feeling alive again, really alive, really grounded, alive, open-hearted. It's hard to explain how people feel when they feel into the best of something, how that is. That can be very useful in life in general, just how useful that is for living and unblocking whatever's on the way of us fully being present to ourselves and others and life.
So we're back in a way, that sense of, you were talking about at the beginning, that aliveness, you know, what's in the way of the aliveness, what's in the way of life, and your whole approach is very much about doing that.
Exactly. Being with that. And, you know, of course, and then just by being with that in a felt sense, the way, it opens up and moves forward into aliveness again, because that's what it wants to do.
As we're coming to the end, is this actually a good way to put a ... on this, to talk about the aliveness, to coming with contact with the aliveness?
Yes, that's very nice. Thank you. Right. That's why the workshop I offered was called Enlivening Recovery.
Enlivening Recovery, yeah.
let me just close just by sensing inside and maybe sensing into the best of all of this. And I'm seeing I'm getting an image of a very big, tall tree of life, and it's really loaded with life. Like, there's vines hanging off it, and bromeliads, and birds, and ants, and bugs, and it's this big tree of life with this big trunk, thick trunk that's been alive many, many, many years, and the roots go deep and out, and now I want to sense into that, it's into that image. It feels really solid in my body and my chest. Oh, my chest wants to, like, pop out, like, it's like the best of recovery is, like, your that esteem, your heart, that whole space of the heart space is kind of leading the way, and the arms out and receiving, like that tree receives, and the heart and chest are receiving, and it's very grounded, like in my back feels very grounded, and it feels like a wonderful kind of receiving and celebration of, like, everything, like all the stars and the wind and the birds and the bugs and the dirt. of everything.
yeah
yeah
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prengel. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.